We have an approach to master planning that is about setting out the principles rather than establishing a really detailed intent of what should be built. It's an urban design exercise, it's a space planning exercise, and it's about creating a framework of spaces that holds buildings, such that those buildings can almost come and go over many, many years, because cities are made over a period of time. Buildings will come and go, and you can see that in the City of London, and even some of the early Canary Wharf buildings now one's seeing developed 20, 25 years on as they get replaced. So it's important that that master plan has longevity and buildings can come and go and are not prescriptive in that way. And we were involved actually very early days looking at those first two plots when Farrell was having a look at the master plan. There was a brief period when he was developing a master plan for Wood Wharf after the Rogers plan. And back then, they were two very small buildings within a Farrell High Street. They subsequently moved on from that, and they became two very different buildings in later master plans. So sometimes there are architects involved. We found at King's Cross that we used a number of architects to plot test the various kind of buildings that we were setting out the framework for, and that helped give reassurance to the local authority and to the planning offices that it was going to work, the shapes that we were developing. But it's very rare that you have all of your architects in place at such an early stage. We had Herzog & de Meuron and we had Stanton Williams in early days of developing plots, so I guess we had them testing their plots, and then Pankaj Patel and Patel Taylor came along soon after and started to look at two buildings on the east side of the plan. I think it's often master plans become better through testing them. Okay. We tend to find that if you develop a framework of a master plan and then you test a number of the plots, whether that's through charrettes or through appointing architects, often the master plan informs the building design, and then the building design reinforces and reinforms the master plan. And sometimes it evolves subtly through that process. So we developed this master plan over a period of around 9 months. And by having two or three architects looking at plots, we could kind of see how that might inform the framework that we were setting up for those plots. So Wood Wharf has a different grain in terms of the plan form, and one can see the sort of the difference between residential buildings and the larger commercial buildings of the original estate. But also in terms of form and massing, it has a different feel to it. The residential taller buildings here have much smaller floor plates than the original office towers in the Canary Wharf early estate. And therefore, the way in which we've played with heights very much kind of is different to the existing estate. We had to be mindful of the wider setting of the estate, and that included views from Blackheath and from also the conservation area and Cold Harbour adjacent to the site, so that we were balancing the grain of the overall Canary Wharf estate on the London skyline. Obviously, Canary Wharf has a very dominant feel from certain viewpoints within London, and when you widen that by another 30 or 40%, obviously that is a material consideration. But we've tried to balance low and mid-rise buildings with the taller elements, such that you create a balance of human scale and I guess connection with the surrounding Cold Harbour area and the existing grain of the place that was there before.